Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Addiction Unlimited podcast, where you get to learn everything you want to know about addiction and recovery. I'm your host, Angela Pugh, co-founder of Kansas City Recovery, life coach, and recovering alcoholic. To learn more about me, you can listen to episode zero on your podcast app or find us on the web at addictionunlimited.com. Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 83 of the Addiction Unlimited podcast. I'm your coach, Angela Pugh. Thank you for hanging out with me today and listening to the pod. I'm really happy to be spending some time with you and getting my schedule back to normal. Last week, I was a speaker at Global Entrepreneurship Week, and not only did I do my own speaking gig there, but I was also asked to be on a panel talking about being a sober entrepreneur and how being sober has changed my business or me as a business person. It was pretty amazing, honestly. And, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, usually about personal development and empowerment, creating change, and all those things I love. But as my businesses grow, I'm getting asked to do more things in the entrepreneurship arena and digital marketing and social media. And I love all that stuff too. You guys know I'm a total tech nerd. Like, I love all that stuff. So it's been really fun. But I spent a lot of time last week at the Global Entrepreneurship Conference, and I spent the weekend getting caught up on things and kind of getting back in my routine. I love speaking, and I travel and speak at a lot of corporate luncheons and events and galas, especially galas for nonprofits and things like that. And it's so much fun. And at the same time, I love getting back in my routine and spending quality time with you. So super happy to be here recording this episode. Also releasing this episode a day early in honor of Thanksgiving. I'm sure you saw the title of today's episode, and you know we're going to talk about staying sober through the holidays. And really not just the holidays, but these are the strategies I use in any social situation where there's going to be drinking. And I wanted to get it out a day early to give more people the opportunity to listen to it before they go into their Thanksgiving extravaganza. So here we are, a day early on the pod. We all know how awkward it can feel like going into a party or a celebration, especially where people don't necessarily know you are sober and you're not shouting it from the rooftops. You can feel a little out of place, like when your family and friends are drinking and you feel like there's this gigantic spotlight on you and your glass of water. It can make you feel super anxious. And I know I've totally been there. But here's the thing. Regardless of what anyone else is doing, you are your responsibility. And I am my responsibility. And if we go into these situations with our eyes open and strategies in place, we'll make it out safe and sound and sober. If you do nothing, then you're making a choice to not protect your sobriety. And think about that for a minute. This is your opportunity right now to make a decision to stay sober and to have a simple plan that will make it a lot easier before you ever walk in the door of a challenging situation. Remember what we talked about in the Is Relapse a Choice episode? I said, if you don't make a choice and take steps to protect your sobriety, then ultimately you're making a choice to protect your option to drink. And drinking is your decision to make. So make a decision right now that you aren't drinking, no matter what, no matter how awkward or uncomfortable you may feel, no matter how high your anxiety gets, no matter how much someone is bugging you, none of these are reasons to drink. So just make the decision right now. Are you with me? Let's do this together. It's simple. No one else has to know you've planned ahead, and we can sail through this without any drama, okay? Okay. Before we do this deep dive into super sober strategies, I want to take a minute and do a shout out. This one goes out to a client of mine who does private sessions with me, and I want to give him a shout out because he has worked his little buns off, and I'm so impressed with him. This is someone who doesn't have a lot of money and couldn't afford like weekly individual coaching with me, but he was so determined to quit drinking once and for all. He wanted off the roller coaster of a couple of weeks sober, then drunk again, constantly starting back at day one. He made a decision to invest in himself so he could have support and guidance, and so he could also figure out why he kept relapsing and stop that cycle. So he scheduled a free consultation with me, which you can find at www.myrecoverytoolbox.com. And we created a plan for him to get the support and guidance that he was looking for. And many of you who do private sessions with me know how I work. And for those of you that don't, I'll break it down real quick. A standard session with me is between 60 and 90 minutes. It's not a standard like 60-minute session and I'm like tapping the clock going, okay, you're out of here, I'm finished. I give you the option also of recording the call so you can go back and reference all the things we talk about and whatever assignments or homework you have. And fair warning, I give a ton of information in a call. So most people definitely opt to get it recorded so they have everything we talk about. And I do the same thing with my coaches, right? Like we always record the call because we go through so much stuff and it's impossible to remember everything. And it's really hard to like take all the notes and get everything down. So the call is recorded. I email it to you as soon as it's ready. And then you just have it as a reference. And you've got everything we talked about and you can stay on track. Then not only do you get a supersized 60 to 90 minute session and you get the recorded call sent to you, you also get a full week of support with me. It's not one call and adios, my friend. You never hear from me again. No, we will be emailing back and forth to keep you on track and moving forward with whatever you're working on. So that's how that works. So my guy, he had his first session with me when he was just 5 days sober. It was literally like the first day that he was up and out of bed and feeling good enough to talk. But his determination and dedication were freaking outstanding. He committed to one session per month because that's what was comfortable for him financially. Then we set up additional support through email and the Facebook group. So he had continual accountability and support and motivation. And I'm telling you, he blew me away with his level of commitment. And only one session a month, and he just celebrated 4 months sober, and it's the longest he's been sober since he was 16 years old. You guys, that's freaking unbelievable. He invested in himself. He made a commitment. He followed direction and followed through on every plan we set out for him, and he's crushing it. I'm so crazy proud of him and grateful that I get to work with him in those individual sessions. It's so fun for me and so fulfilling when I get to see you start making major changes in your life. And I get to see you start to feel happy and confident and you start to realize what you're really capable of, right? Like that's what I live for. That's why I do this work. But if you don't do anything, if you don't have any plan or support or inspiration, then you don't get any results. It's just that simple. And for him, he was ready. He could imagine like what it would look like to live sober. He could see himself feeling better and stronger, being more dependable for his family, rebuilding their trust, and at the same time, building his confidence in himself, knowing he could accomplish this huge thing. He could see it and he did it. And it really has just been incredible. So if you're feeling like you're ready and you want to talk about a plan for yourself, then schedule a consult. Like I said, you can find it at www.myrecoverytoolbox.com. And I'll link to that in the show notes so you can click on it right from your podcast app. But schedule your free consult. I mean, it's quick. We can discuss whatever plan works for you and figure out a strategy and get started. Okay, that's the shout out. So proud of him for seeing the possibilities, for being willing to reach out for help even when he thought he couldn't afford it, and for showing up with me, doing the work, and now celebrating this new life he built. It's freaking amazing. Love it. Now, let's deep dive into this episode, staying sober during the holidays. So it's no secret most of us struggle with family stuff, especially during the holidays. Like, there's so much going on, trying to manage finances, which house do we go to first, who's cooking, cleaning, traveling. Like, it's a lot to think about and worry about. And as addicted people, we have a general difficulty coping with emotions, right? It's at the core of why we drink or use drugs. And that ability to cope is the thing we work the hardest to develop to maintain our sobriety. People get tripped up here a little bit. They think like you just quit drinking and that solves all the problems and that's the battle. But no. The battle is learning how to cope with the feelings and discomfort. That's what recovery is, right? Sobriety is putting down the drink or the drugs. Recovery is learning how to cope with all that stuff. And feelings are overwhelming. You know, they say whatever age we begin drinking or using drugs regularly is the age we stop maturing. And the thought behind this is we stop developing coping skills. Instead, our main coping mechanism becomes drinking and drugs. So when you're angry, you turn to your substance. When you're anxious, you turn to your substance. If you get your feelings hurt, if you're sad or lonely, if you're fearful of the future, you turn to your substance. If there's a difficult conversation you don't want to have, substance. Important event you're super nervous about, substance. Unfortunately, substance masks the feelings, but it doesn't solve the problem. And this is the issue with relapse. It's not so much that you want to drink or be drunk. What you want is to stop feeling whatever feeling you're having because you don't know how to cope with it. And you use the drink to numb that feeling so it isn't so confusing and overwhelming. But guess what? Numbing the feeling does not get you farther along in the process. It's just avoidance. And the problems and discomfort are just sitting there waiting for you with open arms when your hangover wears off. The key is to identify whatever you're feeling and work on that instead of numbing it. Ask yourself what you're really feeling in that moment. Are you anxious? Are you mad? Are your feelings hurt? Are you in financial fear or job fear or relationship fear? Are you bored? Like, put a label on what is actually happening. Then you can figure out how to work through that feeling instead of just drinking to numb it. As we approach the holiday season and all of those stressors that come with it, it's super important to be aware of these underlying struggles so we have a plan and stay safe and sober. So we're going to go through my favorite 6 tips to stay sober for the holidays. And at the end, I'm going to give you a couple of bonus tips and tricks so you are totally armed in any situation. All right? So number 1, have an ally. You guys have heard me talk about this before. Whoever that may be for you, wherever you are going, have someone who is a safe person that you can buddy with if needed. For me, this is someone who also doesn't drink, who knows that I'm sober, and it is important to me to maintain my sobriety. And also someone with a sense of humor, because humor is my go-to solution when I'm uncomfortable, so I have to be able to joke. And I have to have that person that knows exactly who I am and knows what my goal is, which is to stay sober. I have to have that teammate that's got my back no matter what. And it's awesome if you have that person physically there wherever you are, but if you don't, have somebody on text message. If you're a 12-stepper, have your sponsor on text message or one of your sober friends that you can just reach out to via text. Sometimes I may go off by myself and just call one of my friends to relax and recalibrate for a minute. If I'm feeling particularly uncomfortable, like I'll just find a private room or go outside or go sit in my car for a few minutes and just kind of reboot my nervous system and get my anxiety down. You know, do some of that really deep breathing that I love, which is science, by the way. Deep belly breaths. Take a breath in all the way down to your belly button. Feel your belly expand and then exhale. Do that 3 times. It'll change your life. So sometimes I just go off for a minute and just take that minute to reboot my system, get my anxiety down, and then I can go back in and be refreshed. But I always have at least one person I can just be my sober self with and feel safe and comfortable. And usually that means doing some joking around. And a lot of times that's on text message, right? I'm the only sober person in my family. Nobody else is a sober person on either side of my family. So it's really important to me that I have somebody that knows who I am in my core and keeps my goal of my sobriety and protecting my sobriety front of mind, front and center all the time. Number 2, be mindful of your triggers. One of the most important things I can do is to be aware of my own triggers. When I was a drinker, I loved tequila. Tequila was the greatest love of my life. So if I'm at a holiday party and a bottle of tequila is going around or a tray of shots is being passed around, it's probably a good time for me to excuse myself for a few minutes. Maybe it's a bathroom break. Maybe it's to call or text with a friend for a minute to keep me grounded. Maybe I step away and take a fun selfie and post it on the Facebook group. Whatever I need to keep me in a good, sober state of mind, whatever it takes. Tequila is not going to chase me, right? And nobody can force me to drink. I am responsible for taking care of myself and knowing my triggers, just like you are responsible for taking care of yourself. Don't think that somebody else is going to support you or think that like, oh, they won't pass the bottle around because they know I'm here. That's nobody else's responsibility, right? And people usually are not that mindful, unfortunately. It's not that they don't want to support you. They usually just don't think about those little details. So be responsible for yourself, right? And do the smart thing for you and separate yourself from situations that could be challenging. That's all. Number 3, no FOMO. For those of you that don't know, FOMO is fear of missing out. Sometimes there's this strange little feeling we get when we see other people enjoying their glass of wine, or we see our friends or family mixing cocktails and laughing together, and we start to feel like we're missing out on something. I had this experience. I think I talked about this on another podcast episode. I had this experience literally, you guys, at 10 years sober, and I have zero desire to drink, right? Like when I quit drinking, alcohol was not attractive to me. I had no desire to go back. I've always been pretty staunch in my stance to not drink. So it's crazy that even at 10 years sober, I had one of these moments. And I want to share it with you because I want you to understand that nobody is exempt from this. I am not protected because I've been sober a long time. There's no magical force field that comes with long-term sobriety. I'm just as vulnerable as you. I have the same brain that you have, and my wiring is off in the same way. So at 10 years sober, I'm sitting at my family house, and my stepfather and one of my brothers were mixing cocktails in the kitchen, right? And they're having this incredible moment together, like they're bonding and they're mixing their drinks and they're making jokes and they're laughing. And I was kind of looking in there and I literally felt like I was missing out on this great bonding moment, and I felt left out. I didn't want to drink. So don't get that confused, right? Again, It's not that you want to drink. It's that you don't want to feel what you're feeling. So I don't confuse feeling left out and really like wanting to be a part of their bonding moment. Like I don't confuse that with the desire to drink. I didn't want to drink. But that feeling will get really uncomfortable if I don't address it immediately and understand what it is. So I just felt a little separated, right? And a little bit different. And we can all get stuck in that. But what I have to remember really is the only thing I'm missing out on is a horrific hangover and probably making a lot of people angry because that was kind of my specialty when I drank. Not to mention, if I drank, I would be devastated, you guys. I would be heartbroken if I lost my sobriety and I would lose everything I've worked for. So no FOMO. Do not convince yourself you're missing out on something special or missing out on some special moment. And really play the movie through in your head all the way to the end. Don't just play the movie to the part where you're having a great time and laughing and high-fiving your friends and you don't have a care in the world, because that's not how it ends. That's the middle. How that movie ends is you hungover, waking up the next day feeling like crap, possibly with a DUI or a blackout to deal with, right? Overwhelmed with guilt and shame because you drank, right? And none of that is something I'm missing out on. You know what I mean? I like to think of it now. I heard this a few days ago somewhere, I don't remember where, JOMO. Joy of missing out. That's how I'm looking at it now. Like there's a lot of joy thinking about those things I'm missing out on. I have a lot of joy not having a hangover. I have a lot of joy that I get to wake up in the morning and feel freaking fantastic and get on with my day. I have a lot of joy that my family can depend on me now because I'm dependable because I'm not drunk. That's a lot of joy. So let's think of that. No FOMO. Let's go with JOMO, joy of missing out, and reframe that in your head. Number four, don't test yourself. I hear this one a lot from people, especially when they are newly sober. They want to test themselves and see how they feel being around alcohol. Really, honestly, if you think about it, it's kind of dumb. Like, this is not the time to test yourself. Because there are too many forces working against you at the holidays. This is not the time to test yourself. Test yourself later when there isn't so much stress and general discomfort. Or better yet, don't test yourself at all. If you're in a good place, don't push your luck. Just be grateful that you're in a good place and don't test yourself. So don't think about, like, at one of my family things, the drinking spot was the garage, right? Like the garage is where all the drinkers and smokers hung out to do our thing. So like now, like I'm not going to test myself and be like, oh, I'm going to go hang out in the garage and see how that feels. I bet I can handle it. It's no big deal. I'm being strong. You guys, it's dumb. Don't do it. There's no reason. I don't go to the garage anymore. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't want to hang out in the garage. Don't push your luck. If you're feeling good and comfortable in your sobriety, have gratitude for that and don't put yourself in uncomfortable situations. You can test yourself later. I promise you, there is a lifetime of tests because we live in a society that is saturated with drinking. There will be plenty of opportunities throughout the course of your sober life for you to test yourself. The holidays is not the time. Okay, there are too many stressors. We're already a little bit worn down. The committee is on overdrive, right? So we're more vulnerable. Just don't test yourself. Number five, stay busy. This is a big one for me, a lot because of my anxiety. I have terrible social anxiety, and it's really difficult for me to just sit around. And it's even more difficult for me to be in large groups of people. Even with my family, who I love all of my family. I am so uncomfortable in groups. It doesn't matter if it's people I love or not. So this is really hard for me, and staying busy is the thing that saves me. So maybe I help with some of the cooking or setting the table or helping with cleanup. Maybe I find something to do with one of my nieces, right? Or one of the babies, like playing with the babies, because I have two baby nephews right now. Or one of my brothers, you know, like I can get involved with that. One of my brothers, I help him with his website and marketing stuff. So maybe I get involved with that and see how I can be of service to him. Whatever I can do, I try to be helpful to those around me. So it keeps me busy and the committee doesn't have the chance to go into overdrive, right? Because again, the committee is already super sensitive and already super anxious. So I don't want to sit down and spend quiet time with the committee because I will lose that battle. The committee is unkind right now. So we just want to stay busy, do stuff, whatever you can do, be of service in any way that you can. And for me, like at my mom's, because she's always in the kitchen like a crazy person, doing 25 things at once. Like there's no shortage of ways for me to be of service and help in that scenario. Or maybe it's taking one of the dogs out or whatever. There's 1,000 things you can do. Just stay busy. Try to look for ways to be of service and help out all the people around you instead of just sitting and spending quality time with the committee who is really mean right now. Number 6, of course, you know, this is my favorite, right? Be grateful. Gratitude is always my favorite. We get so caught up in all of our self-righteous BS and all the ways that things aren't going the way we want and people aren't doing what we want and they're not talking to us the way we want and we're not getting the things we want. We get so caught up in that stuff that we forget all of the literally thousands of things we have to be grateful for every day. Be grateful for your home. Be grateful for your car. Be grateful for being able-bodied and being able to work. Be grateful for having a strong mind. We are addicted people, you guys. We are the strongest people ever built. There is no person on the planet as strong as we are mentally and emotionally. And you've got to get that through your head. There is nothing bad happening to us because we are the strongest people and we are more capable of dealing with it. That's why we have this thing, because we can. Other people can't. They don't have what it takes, but we do. So be grateful for how strong you are and how capable you are. Be grateful for the job you have. Be grateful for the family you have. Be grateful as you go through your day, especially on the holidays. Be grateful for all the people that are working because they're making a sacrifice and being away from their families. Like, tell everybody thank you all day long. If you go to the store, tell that cashier thank you for working today, right? Be in gratitude. And really, like, be grateful that you're clean and sober and you get to have these moments with the people you love. Be grateful you're not in jail or dead. As sober people, we have the opportunity to recreate and live a whole new life. And that is nothing short of amazing. Many people aren't that blessed. So look around at the people who love you and take a moment to love them back. Count your blessings and all the sober friends you have all across the world. I can go anywhere on the planet and I have a built-in family of sober people who will care about me and protect me wherever I go. Not many people have that, but sober people do. Be grateful, okay? Holidays are an amazing time. If we take some simple measures to protect ourselves, we can get through the uncomfortable stuff and we can celebrate the victory on the other side. Call your friends, go to a meeting, be helpful to others. Remember how incredible your sober life is and protect it at all cost, okay? Now, I told you at the beginning that I would give you a couple of bonus tips for these awkward situations. And this isn't only for the holidays, but any like work party, neighborhood party, dinner with clients, a family reunion, weddings, happy hour with coworkers, whatever situation you have, these are a couple of quickies to protect yourself and your sobriety in any of those situations. Firstly, always have your own drink in your hand. People are much less apt to offer you a drink or bring you a drink if you're already holding something. If you don't want people to know it's alcohol-free, then get something with a lemon or a lime in it. Like I drink Diet Coke with a lemon. It's actually really good. But if people see that little wedge of fruit floating in your glass, they aren't suspicious about if you're drinking or not, right? But honestly, what I really want you to know is that most people are super self-absorbed. We are typically so caught up in ourselves that we rarely have the ability to notice what you are or aren't drinking, okay? Remember that. Humans are totally selfish. So chances are no one is going to notice at all. But make that your thing throughout your event. Always have your own drink in your hand. And if you need a refill and you don't want someone to overhear what you order, then excuse yourself to the restroom and get a refill on your way back, or find your server and ask them for a refill privately. If you're nervous about drawing attention, then just keep a glass in your hand, okay? Secondly, let's talk about a few one-liners you can use to tell people why you aren't drinking. I know, especially in new sobriety, everybody gets super obsessed and nervous about what they're going to say as to why they're not drinking. Like, how are they going to explain it? They feel embarrassed and shameful that they're not drinking, like something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you, dude. You're making a killer choice to have a better life. There's nothing to be embarrassed about in that, okay? Now, obviously, I'm pretty comfortable being a non-drinker. It has never bothered me to tell people I'm not drinking because for me, I feel like I'm cooler than all the drinking people, and I like to let people know how cool I am. I'm kind of joking, but there's a little bit of truth in that. I feel like having the ability to decline a drink, to go against the social norms, and to maintain my personal choice and stand by my decision and be resolute in the choice I've made for my life, that's its own superpower. And regular people don't have superpowers. So I feel fantastic about it. The only idea those people have for fun is to drink. And honestly, once you really start living life, you realize how lame drinking is and how much of a waste of time it is. So I feel incredibly empowered in my decision to not drink. And for those of you who aren't quite there yet, I totally get that too. So here are some things that I've heard people use in the past to take the attention off of not drinking. So I have one girlfriend, like she'll always say like her stomach is messed up. She's always like, you know what? My stomach's been a little upset the last day or so, so I'm just not drinking right now. Or my stomach's kind of messing with me, so I'm going to lay off the booze right now. And it's just that simple, right? Everybody can get that. People have experienced the same thing. There's nothing weird about it, whatever. Or, you know, I'm just not feeling that great, so I think I'm going to take a night off. Like whatever you want to say, it's super simple. Everybody gets it. And the conversation goes no further, right? I have another friend who loves to work out, totally a workout person, lives a pretty healthy lifestyle, and he tells people that's why he doesn't drink. He just says, no, it's not good for my body and I don't want the calories, you know? I heard him say this a couple of weeks ago, actually. He's like, well, you know what? I really want to wake up tomorrow and feel good and energized and go to the gym before my kids get up. So I don't want to be dragging and feeling crappy and foggy because I drank. So I'm not drinking. And I thought it was really cool, right? And totally logical and totally true. Like there was nothing that he was making up. And I have heard him say before too, like when he's really following a strict eating plan because he competes like bodybuilding. So when he's getting ready for a competition, he has to really like cut weight and all that stuff. So he'll get super disciplined in his food. And I've heard him say that before too. Like, no, I'm cutting for competition. I've got a competition coming up. So I don't want the calories. I don't want any of that stuff in my body. I know another guy that tells everybody he's Buddhist, and in Buddhism, there's no intoxicants. And he says it in jest and laughing a bit, but the cool thing is it totally changes the focus of the conversation, and no one worries anymore about whether he is or isn't drinking, right? It just totally takes the focus off of it. Another super easy one is to tell people that you have an early morning meeting or a breakfast with a friend or a Pilates or yoga class, and you want to feel good in the morning instead of feeling crappy. So that's always a good one. I've also heard people say a million times over the years that they're taking a medication and can't drink, whether it's an antibiotic or supplement or something herbal, like whatever your jam is, make it fit for you and use that. Like, oh no, I'm actually taking a supplement right now and alcohol interferes with it, or I'm on an antibiotic for whatever, so I'm not drinking right now. Because alcohol interferes with antibiotics, so your antibiotic can't work. So that's why you're not supposed to drink when you take antibiotics. So that's always a good one to use. So I wanted to give you some of these ready-to-use, like, one-liners, because I know you get stressed out thinking about what to tell people. You get anxious and uncomfortable, and if you don't plan ahead, you get caught in that moment, and you panic, and you get in that fight, flight, or freeze mode where you don't know what to say or do, and that's exactly where addiction needs you to be, right? It needs you to be in fight, flight, or freeze, in fear, overwhelmed, not knowing what to do, because that's how addiction thrives, right? That's how it can start to take back control. And it will win every time. If you don't plan ahead and arm yourself, you get vulnerable like that in those moments of fight, flight, or freeze. You get vulnerable. Addiction will take advantage of that. So just don't put yourself in that position. But imagine this for a minute too. Imagine you walk into your holiday party, your family gathering, and imagine that you feel great. You're smiling, you're confident, you're in a great mood, you're hugging all the little kids, you're helping out in the kitchen, you already know you aren't drinking, so you don't have to worry about fighting off those feelings of should I or shouldn't I? Maybe I could have just one, maybe no one would know. I could probably control it this time if I try really hard. Like, you've already made the decision you aren't drinking, so you can immediately shut down the committee and all that noise. You know what you're going to say if anyone asks, so you aren't nervous about that. You've got a Sprite with a lime in your hand, and it tastes great, so nobody's offering you a drink or worried about your drink or whether you're drinking or not. When other drinkers try to lure you into the drinking spot, wherever that is, you can laugh them off and say, no way, dude, I've got a big day tomorrow and I'm not in the mood to be all effed up and hungover. And you walk away. Imagine that. And you feel fantastic. No stress, no anxiety. You feel great, like it's nothing. You're being confident in your choice, able to trust yourself to make the decision and stand by it. You're protecting yourself. You're loving yourself in your new life. This is the ultimate self-respect, and you've totally got this. So just imagine all of that, right? You stay for an hour or two. You pop in the Facebook group a couple times to share some pics of the food or the crazy sweater your aunt is wearing. And we all have some laughs, and you're good. Can you see that? Can you see that vision? That's exactly how it will go if you keep that vision in your head and follow these strategies we've just laid out. And remember too, I will be super active in the Facebook group all day on Thanksgiving. So if you are struggling, jump in there and start a conversation. I will be as hands-on as possible to support you through whatever piece of your day is getting hard or whatever. And if you're not a member of the Facebook group, get over there and join. This is a phenomenal group of people going through the same struggles you're going through, sharing inspiration and support and a great sense of humor, and it's totally private. Nobody can see you in the group except the other people in the group, so you don't have to worry about that. It will not show up on your newsfeed or anything like that. I'm also going to have you all sharing some funny pics of your day. So I'm going to be posting some fun stuff in there and having you share stuff with me throughout the day too. It'll be really fun. Okay, my loves, you have a lot of ammunition from this episode and it will get you through a lot of situations, okay? I'll put a link in the show notes to join the Facebook group. And for those of you who are ready to kick it up a notch and you want to get off this crazy roller coaster ride of being sober for a couple of weeks, then drunk again, I can totally help you with that. I'll put a link to schedule a free consultation. Or if you know you're ready to kick ass and level up your life, then I'll put a link where you can schedule a session right now. Ooh, I just got chills thinking about all of you out there like ready to start crushing it sober and doing some real work on this sobriety thing. I live for this stuff. I can't wait to help you. So I hope you have an incredible holiday. Keep that vision in mind that I just outlined. Go back and listen to this episode again if you need to. Also, you guys, be of service. Share this episode. Every sober person you know can benefit from all these strategies. So share this episode with somebody and help them out and help to support them through their holidays, okay? Always be of service. Until next time, my friends, I hope you're having a fantastic day and I will see you next week.
You've reached the end of another great episode of the Addiction Unlimited podcast, candid and honest conversation about addiction and recovery. Be sure to visit us at addictionunlimited.com to join the conversation and access show notes and links to everything we talked about. Love this episode? Please take 30 seconds to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes to help us improve and give you the information you want. Thanks for listening. See you next week.